Welcome to Generation Cornerstone. I'm your host, Kimberly Marchand, and I'm so excited to be here for another episode. Here on Generation Cornerstone, we are seeking to restore covenant with Christ as the cornerstone for generational impact and legacy for the next generation of world changers. We will be digging into foundational principles and concepts of Christianity and speaking to individuals who have had success in various areas of life with Christ as their cornerstone. Thank you for coming along on this journey, and I hope you're blessed by today's episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of Generation Cornerstone. We are so glad that you are here with us again today. Thank you for joining us. Today I am joined with my sister friend, Adanya Aganeku. If you've listened to our kind of intro and looking forward to the vision for Generation Cornerstone, you've already met her, but we wanted to have her back to talk a little bit more in depth around the cornerstone of salvation. She has a really powerful testimony and amazing things that the Lord has done in her life. And so thought it'd be really important for her to come back and share that piece of her story and of her testimony. So once again, my name is Kim Marchand. I am the host of Generation Cornerstone. I'm so excited to be here again with you guys. As I mentioned in the last episode, all of the topics that we talk about and everything that we talk about on this podcast is going to be grounded in biblical truth. So like I mentioned, today we're going to talk about the cornerstone of salvation. Mm-hmm. In the Christian faith, everything is revolving around salvation. Everything is revolving around the belief in Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is, that he died on the cross and rose on the third day for the salvation of the entire world. While we were yet sinners, mm-hmm. he died for us. That's the premise of our faith. That's the foundation of our faith. So having salvation as a cornerstone is obviously pivotal to our belief system. So I thought it was really important to early in the season of this podcast to address that and talk about that. So the two scriptures that we are going to look at today to kind of ground our conversation are going to be Titus 3. So we'll go to Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And I'm reading from the NLT version of the scriptures that says, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when our God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." So that's the first scripture, which I thought was really powerful. It does a really good job of explaining what we used to be before Christ, and then talking about how he revealed his kindness and love by saving us. And the point of all of that was to inherit eternal life. But I think we'll talk a little bit about today, not like, yes, he came and died for us to have eternal life, but there is something that we can inherit here on earth too. And so it doesn't just have to be about getting to heaven. The salvation was purchased for our freedom here on earth too. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. And then the other scripture that we will ground ourselves in today is John 3:16. So if you've been in any church or probably heard any sermon or anything familiar to Christian culture, Christendom, you've probably heard this verse. And I'm reading the NLT translation. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So I know that's a really frequently quoted scripture, but I think it's frequently quoted because it sums up beautifully just how simple the gospel is if you really think about it. So wanted to ground in those two scriptures, and I will drop those in the show notes as well for your reference. But we're going to get to today's guest. So I'll have Adanya introduce herself. And if you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and just share a little bit about your story and testimony with the Lord.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Kimberly, for having me on Restoration Cornerstone. I'm so excited to be here. And let's see. My name is Adanya Agoneku, born and raised in Houston, Texas. I am a proudly half Nigerian. And let's see, what else should I tell? These intros are also very interesting because I'm like, what do people need to know? Or what's kind of pivotal to like frame who they're actually listening to or like watching? But let's see, I was a Division I athlete. I was a heptathlete at Georgetown University. I graduated and I immediately went hit to send home. And I went home back to Houston, Texas after graduation. And I continued to pursue a career in medicine, which was my vision. And I say my vision for a particular reason, which I'll get into later. Applied to med school twice, did not get in. Two failed attempts, which before I would be like, oh, failed at such a negative word, but really it's just what it is. Like two failed attempts, and that's fine. And I ended up pivoting, starting my own private tutoring company, and now I do I also do have a corporate job that I actually really like a lot. And yeah, so I balance that while also being one of the leaders at our church, Dominion City Church of Houston. So kind of doing all the things and also with purpose and alignment and intention from the Holy Spirit. So it's going pretty well. No complaints. And today we're going to talk about a little bit of my testimony. And I hope it's encouraging for sure.
Wonderful. And thank you for sharing that and just introducing yourself a little bit more. So let's dig into your testimony. So obviously you're one of my best friends, so I know this story well, but our listeners right. don't. So why don't you just share a little bit about your history in terms of religion or spirituality, share a little bit about your story and how you came to the point that you are today with your walk.
Okay, great. Right. Let's just keep it a buck. I from the South, right? So once saved, always saved is a thing that I don't even think I really fully understood was a thing until I came to Christ. Okay. And I say came to Christ because he was waiting for me. And so I always went to church. Like it was the house that I grew up in. It was like, it didn't matter how late you stayed out. Cause I grew up in the house with no curfew, right? If you were with my older brother, Jonathan, then you could go anywhere. Everyone knew we were the house with no curfew. We weren't doing nothing. We were just at IHOP until 3 o'clock in the morning, but like that was it. But we would just be out and about and kind of just whatever. But we were the kids that like didn't drink, didn't smoke. Like we didn't really do anything cause we were like trying to get Division I scholarship. So like we were just kind of, you know, studious and didn't really need much motivation in a lot of areas. And with that, like we were required to go to church on Sundays, which I like church. I also didn't have a relationship with Christ. Like I knew that it was important to go to church and I knew that it was an important pillar and foundation to have in your life. But I didn't come to the true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ until I was about 28, almost 29 years old, like a month before I turned 29. And so now you're like, what happened in between all of that, right? A lot. Some ghetto, some trifling, some things that didn't need to happen because I was just following the customs of the world, which is what the Bible tells you literally what not to do. But it was, I didn't have anything to look up to in that area for me. I knew a couple people who were, who they had relationships with Christ, but to be honest, it was nothing that was like, it was nothing that was appealing to me, whether that be the lifestyle or the way that they spoke about it, or just, there was nothing to connect that there was nothing that pulled me closer to them. And now that I think about that, like, I'm not really sure what that was about, but my goal is to be able to be like, hey, been there, done that. And like, you don't have to, because it's not that deep. Like, there's a lot of things that you can escape if you just allow Jesus to be. And that's in all the areas, from finances to relationship to your personal peace, your personal freedom, the whole, you name it, like the whole gamut, like you can find it all in Christ. You don't have to go and like search it, and you're not missing anything if you don't have that experience. You're probably just adding a demon or two. You know what I mean? It's just like, thing, like if you think about it, like you're just adding to things that don't need to be there. But yeah, so I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ around 29, and I'm now about 4 years ago to almost around this exact time. And yeah, I'm about to be 33, and life looks very different from when I was 28 or going on 29 at that time to now. So very excited to unpack that with y'all today.
Yeah, awesome. I think that part around not having people to look to in something that's appealing, right? And I think two things, we probably need to have a shift in terms of what's appealing, right? Because like, if you're right, stuck in the world, what looks appealing may not be appealing once you actually get some revelation and understanding of like what actually, like, living a healthy, productive, whole.
It actually looks like trash if you get
it looks different, right? So I think there has to be a shift in mm-hmm. what we expect or what we're looking to. But also the second thing is, I think it's important for people to have people that are relatable, yeah, that they can mm-hmm. look to, and that they have stories to refer back to, which is one of the missions of this podcast, is to have examples of people mm-hmm. who are either Gen Z or millennials who actually live this life and who have had Christ as the cornerstone for the different areas of their life. Because I think not having something to look to, like, representation is important. Like, we hear that mm-hmm. in other areas, but it's important
right.
in this area as well. So mm-hmm. I think that's really telling what you said about that. So so now you're saved, living for Jesus wholeheartedly. So I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about, like, what salvation has purchased for you, right? So we saw in both of the scriptures that we read that one of the things is eternal life, right? So mm-hmm. it's always about on the corner, the people who are screaming at you is like, get saved so you don't go to hell. It's like, okay, right. So in addition to that, right, like, great, your soul is, your spirit, you're saved, you know, from eternal damnation, and what else? So I'd love if you would just share a little bit about, like, what salvation means to you personally and kind of what it's purchased for you in addition to eternal life.
In addition to my VIP access to the pearly gates. Yes. Yeah. So for me, number one, wholeheartedly, all glory to God. I used to struggle with ulcerative colitis, which I used to hear these, like, you've heard stories of people being like, the Lord healed me. And it is real different when it's you. Mm. When it's you, it's like, wait a second. Like, you cannot tell me God is not real. Mm. Like, I have papers that show that I had a severe case. Mm. And it was almost Crohn's, because it was almost affecting my large intestine as well. And like, it is not there anymore. Mm. Like, my first colonoscopy was when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And I wasn't officially diagnosed until I was 25. Mm. And by the time I was, when I came to Christ, I remember when I came to Christ, one of the things was I came to the church that we're at, and we go to Dominion City Church of Houston, and it's an amazing church, and it is spirit filled, spirit led. The Bible, if it's not in the Bible, throw it away. Our pastor is amazing. And I remember meeting him 4 years ago, and I ended up following him to church because I thought he was cute. That's a whole other story. And he asked me if I wanted it to go away. And I was like, of course. And he literally prayed for me, like, on site, on spot. And 4 years later, I went to the doctor this summer, and he was like, let me look at my chart again, because he was like, let me refresh my memory. And he was like, It literally looks as if it was never there. Wow. And I was just smiling. And I keep all my papers and documentation just for like my own reflection, because while it's important to like, it's important to reflect on your testimonies, because even in your good days, or you know what I mean, you need to remember the goodness of God. You need to remember what He has done for you. So when I think of salvation, I think of help. Mm-hmm. I think of healing. I think of actual healing on this earth. And I actually just recorded that testimony and put it on my YouTube, which is my first YouTube video that I actually just released. And I believe I titled it, Jesus Still Heals. Mm. And it's just so true, because we think that these things happen in like third world countries. Like, I live in Houston, Texas. So like, this is not, we're not in some like remote area where people came on like a mission trip to come and deliver the gospel. Like, I live in Houston, Texas. Like, I get in the car and I go to HB. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, these are like things that like naturally happen. These are the types of things that people don't talk about, like the practical implications of salvation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what was purchased for me. And then, I mean, on top of that, I mean, peace of mind, just being delivered from being anxious all the time. Like, that concept of like always going and like making your own plans and just like not laying it down can really, really drive you up a wall. It really just, there's so much peace when you understand like God got me.
And
when I don't got me, God's got me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. So that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important that you know, God works differently in the lives of each of His children, mm-hmm. but He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the things that we need and we require, He already knows them, and He is ready and willing to get into the sticky places with us. So that's such good news for us as His children. So you just shared your, you know, one of the things that was really impactful for you along this journey. But we live in a society today, in America, where, you know, everything is pretty modernized. People are relatively comfortable, you know, like
comfortable to the point where they believe they're comfortable.
Right. You know, things for most, not everyone, but a lot of people are like pretty, you know, pretty cool. So why do you think it's even important for people to get saved in today's world? Like, in addition, like we said, to the eternal salvation, if people's mind doesn't take them that far, right? If they're not thinking about, you know, what's next, and, you know, the word even tells us to not be misled, because we don't even know how much time we have on this earth, right? Like, tomorrow is not promised to us. So when you have that context, like, naturally, it's obviously like, okay, I want to get right with God. But like, why do you think it's important for people in an everyday sense to take their walk with Jesus seriously and to, you know, truly surrender themselves to Jesus Christ?
I think for me, the thing that like really has, I feel like this answer would have differentiated different aspects of my walk with Christ. And I believe that where I've landed now is that it is truly because we should be living for eternity. Like, we should not be living for what is now. We should be living for eternity. Like, this is just like a glimpse of like the hundreds and thousands, millions and billions of years that we have in eternity. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, why would I trade the 100 years that I have on this side for everything else? Mm-hmm. Like, if I really think about it in a space of like time equity, like that's not mathing. That math is not mathing for me. And I also think, well, I have multiple answers for this. The next thing I think is that I think that there is room to have heaven on earth. And you can only do that through salvation. You can only do that through Christ. And it's an uncomfortable thing for people to align with, simply because most people, a lot of people come to Christ when they absolutely, once they absolutely need Him, or at the end of something. And it doesn't have to be so. It could be, you could be living a peaceful, prosperous life the whole, like, while you're here. It doesn't have to be once you get sick. or it doesn't have to be once, you know, some dire situation happens. It could literally just be you walking with Christ. And I'm not saying that when you walk with Christ, nothing's going to happen. And there's just so much peace in knowing that no matter what, high, low, light, dark, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Got you. Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of people just don't, the higher people go, especially in the Western culture, it's like the higher people go, the less that they think they need God, because then they make other things their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that balancing act of like understanding that like every good gift comes from heaven, and also the devil gets his children gifts too. So it's like you really have to like know and like balance out like where you're giving your time and attention to. And especially for like young believers or just like new believers or just believers in general, of like not doing that cross comparison between us and non-believers, because like there is no comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. And I think even that piece that you said about like experiencing the goodness of the Lord on this side of eternity, like, right, like we do not live in heaven, fallen world. And also there's beauty in finding the beauty in the moments and the mm-hmm. goodness of God that he creates for us. And so it looks like peace. It looks like joy, right, in the midst of your circumstances. And that's something that I think people take for granted. So definitely would agree with that.
I want to add to that. Tidbit on that is that I believe that one of the reasons is that people are constantly catching themselves. And I remember when I came to Christ, that was something that I told myself I was going to stop doing, because I'm a multi-hyphenate. I am a go-getter. If it's there, I'm going to go get it. Like, I naturally just have the willpower. That's a gift of mine. I have the willpower to like continue to pursue, to keep going. And also that can also be a hindrance, because when you're always going, sometimes God's not going, because you know what I mean? Like, you're going before God sent you, and that can lead to toiling. And that's not what we're called to do. Yeah, so I just think that it's really important to allow God to be God. I think we have the tendency with all the freedom and, you know, free will and yah, yah, rah, rah, all the things that they tell you to do. YOLO, all those things, right? We got out. And that was never the purpose of this. It was never the purpose of salvation was to never cut God out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the purpose of salvation was to actually let him in.
Absolutely.
So it's so interesting to like think about it now. It's like, oh, well, like Jesus did all that just for people to act like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, so he did all that on the cross, and now y'all are acting like
mm-hmm.
he didn't. You know what I mean? So it's just understanding and application. So it's interesting. And we've all been there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like leaving the space for God to be God. Yeah. Cause especially it's like when you have the means to catch yourself, or you have the intellect, or you have the resources and all these things, right? But it's like at some point you have to leave room for God to be God. So,
and there will always be an opportunity for God to show up to, you know what I mean? It's just like we talk about it all the time. Like, you think of the Steve Jobs and like wildly successful people, and like on their deathbed, literally on their deathbed, like what they're not talking about their money or their assets or any of those things. They're talking about how they would like to be healed, or how they, you know what I mean? They're talking about how they wish they would spend more time with their family, or, you know what I mean? They wish they gave more attention to God. It's like, those are like very real things, but it's only as real as you make it. And it's just really interesting how the world has, or the devil has done a really good job of deceiving the world into thinking that they don't need Jesus. Like, but that's exactly his goal, right? Because like, as long as he can keep you straight out of the kingdom, you know what I mean? Then he can continue to play ping pong, and he can continue to allow you to just not be of use to the kingdom, right? And we know that it doesn't matter, because God always wins.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all of that being said, what was the hardest thing for you in surrendering your life to Christ fully, right? Because we know that there's levels to this.
Definitely.
In terms of how people interpret their relationship with God, how people interpret their relationship with Christ, they're shouldn't be, right? But I think a lot of times people have, it's really easy for Jesus to be Savior but not to be Lord. And just would be curious to hear what was kind of the hardest thing for you in terms of truly surrendering your life to Christ and living for him wholeheartedly.
I think the most concerning part for me, given that I sold myself completely out at 28, going on 29, was that, well, I think it's multifaceted, right? But I think the main thing is that I wasn't solid in my career, and I was going on 30, right? So it was just like, ooh, this is not, and it wasn't a lack of education. Like, it wasn't a lack. I've gone to the finest schools. You know what I mean? So it wasn't because I didn't have those resources. And so I had to like honestly swallow my pride and be like, you know what? It's truly not about this. I don't care what this looks like. And I actually don't care like what other people are going to think about it, because like, I am riding this wave with Jesus. And it was extremely humbling for me. And I just allowed it to be. I remember I have one of our other really good friends, her family took me in for like 2 years, and the mom is an anesthesiologist, and our friend, she's a physician. And so think about it. There I am with this degree, this amazing degree, with dust on it, because I hadn't used anything for it, right? Because I thought I was going to go to med school, rejected twice. And now I'm going to go live in this house, like, you know, with amazing physicians. Like, that was humbling for me. Like, I had to swallow my pride. Mm-hmm. And had I not, then I'm not convinced that God would have been able to do what he did, because at the end of the day, like, I'm exactly where he needed me to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, it was just really letting go of like any thoughts, or like, I didn't care. Like, I felt like if I didn't go to med school, that I was going to be a failure, because I had said that I was going to do it. And if I didn't do it, then I looked like a failure. And I had to let that go. I just had to let it be, because that actually wasn't the truth. And it was a lie from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And all it just meant was that I could like really start to look at my God-given gifts, my God-given talents, and figure out like, what are the spaces and the things that I actually enjoy? Mm-hmm. And like, where is God actually calling me to go? Mm-hmm. Where does this actually make sense? Like, yes, could I probably be a physician? I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure if I would have kept going, you know, probably would have gotten in eventually. Would I have been positioned for God's perfect will for my life? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, it always ends up working out, but it will be very uncomfortable, because you'll have to let go and like renew your mind. I had to completely renew my mind from like what I envisioned and what I thought it was going to be, and allow God to come and do his thing. And at 30, that's not what's up, you know? But I mean, at the end of the day, like 4 years later, fast forward, I mean, when he says he redeems that time, your girl is a living testament to that, for sure. So.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's a big part, especially in this like social media, super visual culture that we live in. Like, the relinquishing of what we envision and like our expectations of things, and like letting go of what we think that is supposed to be is I think really huge. And I think that keeps a lot of people like bound and toiling and like doing things, trying to just like make something shake, when it's like, honestly, like that just may not be like what God has for you. And if you would just like ease up off of it a little bit, like you could, you know, he can move you and, you know, adjust and position you to something better and greater. So,
yeah, because I think we live in that culture where it's like, work harder, like I'll sleep when I'm dead. No. The Sabbath, rest. Yeah. These are all real things. And just like being like, oh, well, if the door's closed, bust it open. It's just like, well, maybe door seven is not your door. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's not where you need to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you just go around the corner and across the street, like door three is wide open, but you don't know because you're too busy trying to bust down door seven.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. That's so true. So, what advice, as we wrap up, what advice do you have for young adults, people in our age group, or just people in general trying to figure out if they want to give their lives to Christ? Like, what advice do you have to people who are like on the fence, or who, you know, have maybe one foot in and one foot out, or are trying to figure it out? Like, what advice would you give someone who's, you know, contemplating salvation? Maybe they've heard the salvation prayer and they're like, I don't know what this means. I don't know if this matters, like all of that. Like, what advice would you have for someone like that?
My advice is run, don't walk towards your salvation. Just cash it in. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you gain everything and you lose nothing. Mm-hmm. And I just think that people believe that when they give their life to Christ and they become Christian, that they lose everything. And again, alive from the pits of hell. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. You gain everything, but you, there's some things that some people can't even be able to explain to you. It's the peace. It's the serenity. It's just like, it's the purification. It's the sanctification of heaven. So it's all the occasions, right? It's all the things, but you won't be able to like truly experience it until you give your life to Christ. And God is such a gentleman. Like, he's not going to force himself on you, but he wants you. Like, you're never too far away. There's nothing that you've ever done that will make you ineligible for salvation. And if you slip up, you can repent, turn away, and go right back. Mm-hmm. So there's just that, you just go run, put on your running shoes and run to your salvation, because nothing else out here is willing to cash in and redeem and restore the way like God does. Like, it's just, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And I think there is this idea of like loss, and I think people just think they're giving up so much, when really on the other side of it, once you've had some time, put some things down and spend some time with the Lord, I promise you, a lot of that stuff starts looking real.
It's like, how many more Sunday fun days?
Well, I mean, Sunday fun day and just a bunch of other things.
There's a lot of things, right?
As you renew your mind, those types of, there's just things that are no longer, you know, appealing to you, because you truly do become a new creation. So that's so good. That's so true.
You just, but your whole mind begins to like everything, you just become a different person. So like when you meet people and people talk about, oh, I just became a different person. Yes, because it says all things have passed away. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. All things have passed away. So like, you are no longer the same person. Like, I am not the same person that I was before I gave my life to Christ. And I'm not talking about, and when I say gave my life to Christ, I'm talking about like laid it all down. Like, I was in the church, but I was not in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So like,
So he wasn't able to do his sanctifying work.
No, there was no sanctification. There was no renewing of the mind. There was none of that. It was just me.
Into the image of Christ.
No, it was just me. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I couldn't restore myself because clearly I tried and it didn't work. So you're going to have to give, whether it be your time, whether it be, you know what I mean? I don't want to say like a cost, but like he purchased your salvation mm-hmm. on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so in exchange for him going to the cross, like he just wants your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We give our hearts to other things that don't want to give us anything, but maybe a paycheck. So, I mean, it's like, it may be even that.
So. Yeah. Wow. So good. So this has been a really great conversation. I know it's going to bless a bunch of people. So as we wrap up, I would love to hear maybe what a foundational or cornerstone scripture is for you in your life, or a book that you always go back to, a book in the Bible, or a story that really resonates with you, or if you have a specific scripture that you reference to a lot.
So it's interesting that you said that, because I actually like write on my desk. I have like a sticky note, and it's actually 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And it's literally on my desk.
Wow.
And the reason that and that's actually, I see it every day because I put it literally on my monitor.
Yeah.
And fitting for today, obviously. But yes, I always have to remind myself, like, I am not the same person that I used to be. And this is, I'm 4 years in, right? And I'm going to always remember this because it is so true. All things have passed away. All things mm-hmm. are become new. So my thought process, like the things that I like to do, how I like to spend my time, the friends that I choose, like everything is different. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. And as someone who's known you since, how long have we known each other? Since we're like 15 or 16 years old. It's so encouraging and beautiful to see people's transformation and just your walk and faithfulness to living for Christ. So definitely seeing your transformation, sis, and it's beautiful. So just tell us a little bit about, I know in your intro, you told us a little bit about what you do, but if you wanted to share with the listeners what you have coming up and where people can follow you.
Yeah. So my brand is Body and Bible on all platforms. And that's just kind of actually when I gave my life to Christ, I deleted I had two Instagrams. I created a new Instagram and it was just all about Jesus. And then I think maybe after about, I don't know, 6 months to a year, I was like, this old Instagram, like literally just doesn't even align with who I was because I was becoming new. And so I deleted it. And so I was like, this is going to be my Instagram and it's going to be all about Jesus because I truly do strive to bring glory to God in everything that I do. And so it just turned into like a thing and the people follow me and I've just been running with it. And so I'm on TikTok as well with Body and Bible. I'm on YouTube, Body and Bible, and I have an ebook that's coming out shortly. And it'll just be like a little workbook to help you stay grounded and rooted in all things faith and fitness. And so, yeah, what I'm all about is faith, fitness, and fellowship. And so you'll catch me promoting all those things on all the platforms. And that's what I have coming up. What else? Yeah, I think that's it. Just my ebook and my YouTube just dropped this Saturday. So I plan on dropping at least a video a week, probably about 15 to 20 minutes and just getting on there and talking. So if you enjoy the conversation here, I will be doing more and I'm sure I'll bring Kim to my YouTube video as well, just to give the people a little bit more. But the goal is to be able to show people that it doesn't have to be boring and it doesn't have to be bland, and you can be spicy for Christ and like that's totally fine, but spicy in a good way, spicy in a way that brings glory to God. But yeah, so those are all the things. So if you want to follow your girl at Body and Bible,
Right. Love it. And it's like, it's not
B-A-W-U-Y. Uh-huh. That's the
component. I will definitely drop the links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. The YouTube, all of her socials, the social handle's the same, but I'll definitely drop her information in the show notes for you all to go and follow her. But thank you for joining us for another episode. Hope you're blessed and enriched by today's conversation, and look forward to fellowshipping with y'all next time. Have a good one.
Bye. Thanks, Kim.